Yevamos, Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel 9-3. The Mishnah continues really on the same theme. We're going to talk here in this Mishnah about Shnios Medivrei Sofrim, second-degree incestuous relationships which are prohibited rabbinically. So you'll recall, for example, the Torah prohibits marrying one's mother. It doesn't prohibit explicitly marrying one's mother's mother, one's grandmother, but already from the time of Shlomo Melech and his Bezdin, they prohibited that sort of thing. And those are the Shnios Medivrei Sofrim, so we're going to talk about those here. First of all, Shnios Medivrei Sofrim, when you're talking about, for example, we'll use the example throughout of, let's say, one's mother's mother. There are others. So, Shni LeBaal V'lo Shni LeYavam, if the relationship exists between the husband, but not the Yava, meaning his brother, through the common father, so then Asur LeBaal U'Materes LeYavam, then it would be prohibited for them to get married, husband and wife. But if they did, and then he dies, she falls Yibam, and the surviving brother has to Yibam. So just for example, you have two brothers. Let's say their names are Reuven and Yosef. I'm using Yosef instead of Shimon, for obvious reasons, we'll see in a second. So Reuven's mother is Leah, and Yosef's mother is Rachel. Rachel and Leah are not sisters, though. Okay, so they have two mothers, unrelated persons, and this fellow Yaakov marries both these two women, Rachel and Leah. So now, since Reuven is Leah's child, he certainly can't marry Leah, that'd be Adoraisa, but to marry Leah's mother, his grandmother, is Asar Medivrei Sofrim, rabbinically prohibited, so that marriage is not allowed to be done, but since it's only rabbinic, if Reuven would give his grandmother a ring and say, Hirat Mekudeshali, but to Badzu, they'd be married. So that's prohibited, but it would still work. And therefore, if Reuven does that, and then Reuven dies, so then his grandmother, would then fall to Yosef, I'll call it his half-brother, they share the same father, for Yibum. But since this woman is not related to Yosef at all, Yosef could marry her. So that's the case here. Again, let's read the words one more time. Shnios Medivrei Sofrim, people like your grandmother that are forbidden rabbinically. Shni LeBaal, if we're talking about Reuven's grandmother, so she's a Shnia, second-degree incestuous prohibition to him. V'lo Shni LeYavam, but to his brother, through his father's side, Yosef, this woman is not a Shnia, and therefore Yosef could do Yibum. Asur LeBaal U'Materes LeYavam, therefore it would be prohibited for Reuven to marry her, but it's permitted for Yosef to do Yibum with her. Shni LeYavam V'lo Shni LeBaal. On the flip side, if we're talking about Reuven having married Yosef's grandmother, so then Asur LeYavam, so then of course Yosef can't do Yibum with her because it's his grandmother, U'Materes LeBaal, but Reuven could have married her no problem because that grandmother's unrelated to Reuven. You could have a Shni LeZeh V'LeZeh. You could have a scenario where it's forbidden to both of them. So then, like for example, let's say that they came from the same mother. So they have the same parents, mother and father, these two brothers. So of course, neither can marry their grandmother. And so therefore, Asur LeZeh LeZeh. It's forbidden for both Reuven to marry her and for Yosef to do Yibum with her. Now, in all these scenarios where you have a rabbinic prohibition happening of marrying someone who is your second degree incest relationship, a Shnia Medivrei Sofrim, so we see here that the rabbis imposed a series of kenasos, of penalties, to disincentivize these women from getting married, these men from getting married to these women, and therefore, Ein la lo ksuva. First of all, the woman has no ksuva, meaning that when Yosef, or Reuben for that matter, marries his grandmother, so then that's a no-no, and therefore, when they get divorced, the grandmother doesn't get a ksuba, though normally she would get like 100 zuz, her basic ksuba, as a second marriage. As a second marriage, of course, she's a grandmother. But she wouldn't get it here as a rabbinic penalty. Philoperos, same goes. If Reuven derived benefit from the peros of her nechse malug, she brought in an apartment building, which she intends to take out with her. In the meantime, he got the rent and spent it. So he doesn't need to, like, even though the marriage was illegal, so therefore he shouldn't have gotten the benefit in the first place. If he did, he doesn't have to, like, reimburse her for the money he got while they were married. Again, that's just a disincentive to her, disincentivize her to marrying her grandson. V'lo mazonos, and same goes, he doesn't need to provide her with mazonos. Now, of course, that's pashut, that since the marriage is forbidden, the rabbis aren't imposing an obligation for Reuven to feed his grandmother because they're not supposed to marry in the first place. But even more than that, even if, let's say, for example, let's say Reuven married his grandmother, Reuven went away on vacation, you know, or a business trip, whatever the story is, leaving his wife behind. So now the wife, you know, runs up a tab at the local restaurant. So normally if it were one's wife, he'd have to pay the tab because he has an obligation to pay for his wife. Wife's mizonos, her food. But in this scenario, since we're penalizing this couple from being married in the first place, if the wife runs up a tab, the husband has no obligation to, you know, to reimburse, to pay for it. V'lo b'la'os, and same goes with the worn-out stuff that she brought into the marriage. Now, she brings in a blanket. Blanket's worth $100. But he uses it while they're married, illegally, and he wears out the blankets. So now the blanket's worth less than it was before. B'la'os, worn-out things. So then when she leaves, of course, it's her blanket. So it's next level. Look, she'll take the blanket with her once they're divorced. But let's say, for example, the blanket was worth $100, now it's worth $60. He does not need to pay her the $40 for, like, depreciation. That's normally... normally, even though the marriage is illegal, you would say, like, oh, maybe he's doing something unjust or unright by using the blanket and getting benefit and wearing it out, but too bad, not supposed to be married in the first place. V'havlad kasher, even though the marriage is forbidden, should Reuven marry his grandmother, the offspring are actually not mamzerim. And finally, v'chofen oso lahotzi, the Bezdin will force Reuven to divorce and separate from his grandmother, because that's the rabbi's disapproved of that marriage altogether. So we'll basically, you know, if to the extent the Bezdin can, they'll get a hold of him, they'll, you know, twist his arm until he says, okay, I want to get divorced, and they'll make the divorce. In contrast, you have other prohibitions, which are prohibitions from the Torah. These relationships are forbidden, but they are not prohibited with the penalty of kares, meaning that is generic aser lav, just generic Torah says one way that don't get married. That being the case, Kedushin is Tovsin. If they do get married, it's binding, and they're married. And there's no knasot, there's no penalties imposed by the rabbis for these Torah violations, or even if they're rabbinic, some of them are rabbinic perhaps. So the point is, these don't have any penalty associated with them. When it comes to rabbinic things, sometimes the rabbis feel they need to reinforce their rabbinic ordinances, like Shnios and Debrei Sofrim, that principle is called Asu Chachamim Chizuk LeDivrehem. They reinforced their rabbinic enactments with some sort of penalties, but they don't exist. There's no such penalties in the following cases. First of all, Alman LeKohen Gadol, the widow and the Kohen Gadol getting married, that's prohibited by dint of a mitzvah ase, but the point is they're not supposed to get married. If they do, it's binding and there's no penalty, meaning she will get her ksuba, and there's no, you know, he has to provide her mizonos, etc., etc., even though we will, in all these cases, force them to get divorced. They're the best they can. More than that, Grusha v'chalutz l'kohen hediyot, the divorcee and the woman who did chalitza, called the chalutza, so they cannot marry even a kohen hediyot. Kohenim can't divorce, a regular kohen can't marry a divorcee, and a chalutza's got a din like a divorcee. But if they do, the marriage is binding and there's no penalties. You'll note, of course, that a chalutza is definitely a din derabanan. Midoraisa, a kohen could marry a chalutza. But since we treat chalutz and grusha as like one and the same throughout, so the Torah, and therefore there's no, the rabbis saw no need to sort of add extra chizuk l'divrehem, and they treat the chalutz like a grusha, so no extra penalties. Also, mamzeres unasim liYisrael, a regular mamzeres, not supposed to marry a regular Jew, but if she does, so then there's no penalties. Nesina, a little more complicated. Remember the Nesina, we've seen a bunch of times already. Those are those givonim, those Canaanite peoples that faked out Yoshua, did a trick. So it's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. If it's a Doraisa, Durabanan. If it's a Doraisa, then it's really straightforward. Since it's a Doraisa, there's no need to have any penalties. If it's a Durabanan, so you see the rabbis for a reason, so it wasn't necessary to make Chizuk Durayim with this Durabanan of marrying a Nasin or a Nasina. And therefore, similarly, the Mishnah says, Bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish woman, Linasin, who marries a Nasin, Ulamamzer, or marries a Mamzer. Again, prohibited. Maybe Doraisa, maybe Durabanan in the case of Nasin, certainly Doraisa in the case of a Mamzer. But if they do get married, then it's binding. And says the Mishnah, Yeshlan Ksuba, they have a Ksuba, as well as the other things that normally go with marriage, meaning all the penalties you mentioned in the first half of the Mishnah don't apply. But in all cases, still, we do certainly, Kofen Oso Lahotzi, we do force this husband to marry this woman because the marriage is, you know, disallowed by the Torah.